This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Dorian calls on the Carolinas. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, September 6th. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Hurricane Dorian losing strength as it reaches the eastern seaboard is still threatening with floods and high winds.
The Los Angeles Times says a preliminary probe into a boat fire off California that took 34 lives suggests serious safety deficiencies.
The government releases the latest employment numbers today. Here are the specific areas that economists are watching closely.
And the best college majors, whether you want a big salary or steady employment or just to follow a passion.
A lot of times you'll hear people say, you know, do something that you're interested in so that you're not burned out by your work. And that is good advice to a certain extent, so long as you can actually find work in what your passion is.
Kyle Kensing at CareerCast has a list of the best college majors, depending on what motivates you. He's here in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Dorian has been soaking the Carolinas, flooding coastal towns, cutting power to hundreds of thousands of people, even spawning tornadoes. Floodwaters rose to a foot or more in low-lying parts of Charleston, South Carolina, where more than 7 inches of rain fell in some areas. The website poweroutage.us showed more than 260,000 homes and businesses were without power in South Carolina and Georgia last night. Many have been restored. The center of the hurricane, downgraded to a Category 1, was forecast to move near or over the North Carolina coast overnight with life-threatening storm surges. Governor Roy Cooper.
The majority of deaths in hurricanes are from drowning, and we know that all too well in North Carolina. Never drive on flooded roads. And never drive around a barrier.
Elsewhere, at least 70,000 people in the Bahamas needed immediate humanitarian relief after Dorian became the most damaging storm ever to hit that island nation. Let's get a further update now from Kelly Golden at News Radio 94.3 WSC in Charleston, South Carolina, one of our affiliates. Kelly, what's happening right now?
Believe it or not, Gordon, we're looking at 30-mile-per-hour wind gusts still happening 30 miles inland. That was a little surprising to wake up to this morning.
All right, so you've lost power right at home. What do the surrounding neighborhoods look like?
Oh, power lost at home, power lost here at our studios. We're still on generator power. But last night, getting a couple hours of sleep, it was 200,000 without power. This morning, they've already knocked that back, Gordon, to 150,000.
Okay. So this is one of those situations where you were expecting far worse and seem to have been somewhat okay with what's happened, or is there worse stuff yet to come?
Nerve-wrackingly close, but we are quite honestly, Gordon, breathing a sigh of relief here in the low country. I mean, to put this in perspective, yes, we have, 150,000 people without power, and today's going to be 90 degrees for a high, and the weekend even hotter at 95. So, of course, we're praying for patience. But my sister lives on Folly Beach, which is one of our barrier islands, and her front yard is the beach. Her backyard is the Folly River. And when Irma hit back in 2017, which if anybody can remember back, Irma ballooned to a Category 5, much like we saw Dorian do the very same thing, and hit Cuba, where Dorian obviously devastated, of course, the Bahamas. But Category 3, Irma moves up to the Lowcountry after hitting Florida and caused major damage. She lost her entire downstairs apartment. Now we're looking at cleaning up, debris out of the yard and a couple of, tin roof shingles that blew off.
Okay, so given the nature of flooding in Charleston, are you anticipating problems in the coming days, or is it too soon to tell?
I think it's a little too soon to tell. They were at one point yesterday. The National Weather Service was telling us we're going to see 10 to 15, possibly 20 inches of rain. It wound up being 10 inches of rain. So that's good news. It's better news. It's not the best news. It certainly is, though, for something dubbed the Low Country. And yes, of course, we'll see waters rising in. Did we see beach erosion? Absolutely.
We're speaking with Kelly Golden at News Radio 94.3 WSC in Charleston, one of our affiliates, talking about Hurricane Dorian. Some folks have used the phrase catastrophic to talk about the potential flooding. Do you think that's waned?
I believe so, yes, because, you know, the worst of this stayed slightly to our north between McClellanville, Georgetown, and the Myrtle Beach areas. And Gordon, McClellanville was where 30 years ago, we're coming up on an anniversary for us in the Lowcountry where Hugo hit.
You referenced Irma from 2 years ago. Has Charleston fully recovered from that flooding?
Yes. I mean, I feel like once Irma came through, there are places that flood now that didn't flood before. When I talked about that beach erosion, I mean, this is after much, you know, beach renourishment over the last 2 years. So is that nerve-wracking for coastal residents? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like I said, Dorian diminishing effects here in the Lowcountry, and there is a sigh of relief this morning, despite the fact that there are a lot of people still without power.
On a somewhat separate subject, I guess, I mean, have there been hurricane or flood-related improvements, say, to the infrastructure in that Lowcountry area since Irma?
You know, it's interesting you ask that. We had our former lieutenant governor on yesterday who has property along the Battery here in downtown Charleston. He said, Kelly, I've seen worse flooding in just a bad summer rain around my house here in the Lowcountry. He said, you know, I really commend our area officials for whether it's, you know, culling back the trees or cleaning out the drainage. I know that they're working on, you know, sort of building up our seawall along the Battery, but that hasn't happened yet. So some improvements, yes, absolutely have been made. I think more to come. But there was a lot of community effort and local officials just coming together here to make what could have been much worse,
yeah.
I believe, for our community better.
You referenced building a seawall. How about building in general in terms of developments and stuff? Does that play a role in what's happened, or do some people say it does?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you start filling in wetlands, and what do you expect is going to happen? Certainly, we're going to see flooding. And again, like I said, not called the Lowcountry for nothing. I mean, our major crosstown through the downtown peninsula in the city of Charleston, you know, floods, you know, when the high is high and the moon is right.
There's Kelly. Kelly Golden from News Radio 94.3 WSC in Charleston, one of our affiliates. Changing gears now, a preliminary investigation into the deadly scuba diving boat fire has suggested serious safety deficiencies aboard the vessel, including the lack of a roaming night watchman who's required to be awake and alert passengers in the event of a fire or other dangers. Los Angeles Times also reports that the probe also has raised questions about whether passengers received a complete safety briefing. Meanwhile, the National Transportation Safety Board says crew members told investigators they tried to rescue the 34 passengers. Board member Jennifer Homendy.
Due to heat, flames, and smoke, the crew had to jump from the boat, and they reported that two of the crew members had swam to the back of the vessel, to the skiff.
Of the 39 people on board, only five crew members were found alive. The others, who were in the lower sleeping deck, likely got trapped when flames blocked their escape routes. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Glad you could spend some time with us. Welcome into Friday. Robert Mugabe, the former leader of Zimbabwe, who was forced to resign in late 2017 during a bloodless coup, has died. More from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
The Wall Street Journal describes Mr. Mugabe as a schoolteacher turned guerrilla fighter who helped topple white colonial rule in Zimbabwe, only to lead the country to the brink of economic ruin. He took power after white minority rule ended in 1980. He would blame Zimbabwe's economic problems on international sanctions. But USA Today says growing discontent about other problems prompted a military intervention, impeachment proceedings, and demonstrations calling for his removal. Robert Mugabe was 95. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. Mugabe died after years of declining health that saw him make frequent trips for medical treatment in Asia and less than 2 years after his 37-year rule came to an end. A confidant of his family said he died at a hospital in Singapore where he had been receiving medical treatment since April. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, after triggering tornadoes in South Carolina, Hurricane Dorian is closing in for a possible direct hit today on North Carolina's Outer Banks. A string of low-lying islands, even as it weakens to a Category 1 storm, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
Your area is feeling the impacts of Dorian. Stay home and safe. Don't drive through standing or moving water. If the road is covered with water, turn around. Don't risk your life or the lives of first responders.
In the Bahamas, some of the haggard residents who lost homes to the ravages of the hurricane are waiting at a small airport, hoping to catch planes out of the disaster zone as an international humanitarian effort to help the Caribbean country gains momentum. The death toll has risen to at least 30. A California jury has acquitted one of two men charged with manslaughter in an Oakland warehouse fire that killed 36 people in 2016 and failed to reach a verdict on similar charges against the second defendant. The jury acquitted 29-year-old Max Harris of 36 counts of manslaughter and could not reach a verdict on the charges against 49-year-old Derek Almina. Mary Vega's son and his girlfriend were killed in the fire.
Max is guilty. They didn't find him guilty. I don't know why.
Both men ran a live-in artist colony at the warehouse, which was nicknamed the Ghost Ship, and erupted in flames on December 2, 2016. It was not immediately clear if prosecutors would seek a second trial for Almina. Boxed in by opponents and politically abandoned even by his own brother, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is struggling to keep his Brexit plans on track. He's accusing lawmakers of thwarting democracy by blocking his plan for a new election. Johnson remains determined to secure an election after lawmakers rejected his attempt to trigger one as part of their effort to stop the UK from leaving the European Union next month without a divorce deal. And we're underway in the season's first NFL game. The Packers edge the Bears 10-3 in Chicago. Aaron Rodgers with the NBC Games lone touchdown.
First and goal. Rodgers hangs in the pocket, throwing into a lot of traffic, and it's caught with a touchdown.
It's season number 100 for the NFL.
Well, such excitement in Chicago over that offense, huh? Man, 3 points in the first quarter and
lots
nothing
of
nothing the rest of the game.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Got a teenager looking for a career path? If you look at CareerCast.com's annual jobs rated report, it's no coincidence. So many of the best jobs require post-secondary education. College degree still carries paramount value in the labor market, but certain programs offer clearer paths to career success than others. Here are some college majors to consider from Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast. Kyle, what are some findings?
In terms of pay, like an example I'll cite from this report specifically, one of the top jobs in terms of having job prospects after graduation is in education. Now, you think of teachers, and that's a career field that unfortunately doesn't pay that much over the long run of a career. But in terms of finding jobs right out of college, it has the lowest unemployment of all degree programs at about 1%, sometimes a little bit under 1%.
Wow.
And the pay in terms of starting is actually pretty decent at about $41,000 for a median nationwide. And depending on where you're teaching, too, you can actually make pretty decent money in education. It varies pretty widely by region. But, you know, in terms of having job prospects right away, education is a great career path. And that's, you know, on the complete flip side of it, electrical engineer is actually the highest paying bachelor degree program, where you can make about $73,000 in terms of a median annual salary for a new graduate.
Wow. So when it comes to a job like a passion, what are the top degrees?
Yeah, with passion, that's an interesting subject because a lot of times you'll hear people say, you know, do something that you're interested in so that you're not burned out by your work. And that is good advice to a certain extent, so long as you can actually find work in what your passion is. You know, so I think it's important for anybody who's considering a degree program to weigh where you're going to be able to find work. But that goes into education as well. Not only is there good job prospects in it, but that long-term pay forecast might not be such a deterrent if you're somebody who enjoys working with kids and having an impact on young lives.
Mm. We're speaking with Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast.com. They've crunched some numbers and come up with the top college degree programs in 2019. Whether you're looking for a big salary or you prefer job stability or you just want to pursue a passion, and stability and income are not that important. What else stood out here in terms of other top programs?
So one that was interesting to me that was really kind of a major deviation from some of the others, marketing and market research. And now that's one where both the annual starting pay for new graduates as well as the prospects are both pretty good. And I think that that's an interesting one, in part because that's an industry that people who are struggling to find work in some areas that have been kind of in a lull for a while, something like broadcasting, media, that sort of thing, there can be kind of a smooth transition to that. So I think it's interesting that marketing and market research is a degree program right now that, one, is paying well, and two, is hiring well, and it's also kind of a deviation, like I mentioned, you know, from nursing and medical and health services, electrical engineering, you know, things are a little bit more healthcare and STEM-related.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Kensing, online content editor at careercast.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, sweatpants. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobes. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? Well, this is not the most invigorating shopping experience, right? You just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're kind of playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is going to give you right now 20% off your first order. Go to MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code Gordon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you'll ever own. Custom engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor eliminating underwear and socks make Mack Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep them. Get a refund. No questions asked. Mack Weldon giving you 20% off right now on your first order. Go to MackWeldon.com right now and enter the promo code Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you're with us. Welcome into Friday, September 6th. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Hurricane Dorian, now a Category 1, but still threatens flooding along the coasts of the Carolinas. Los Angeles Times says safety deficiencies being investigated as part of the deadly dive boat fire in California. An Air Force jet accidentally fired a rocket into the desert between Phoenix and Tucson. No injuries or damage from the warthog. Serena will play for the U.S. Open title. And Marlins pitcher Brian Moran struck out his brother during his major league debut last night. Brother Colin plays for the Pirates. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. The Labor Department releases the August jobs report later today. Economists are watching a number of areas, from manufacturing to the impact of another rate cut by the Federal Reserve. A preview of the numbers from Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark set this up.
Certainly we know that we live in turbulent times, and that turbulence extends to the global economy as well as to financial markets here at home and elsewhere. And so much of that turbulence lately has revolved around the concern that a recession is virtually at our doorstep. The good news is that the economic data has not matched those fears, and I think the jobs report should continue along those lines. So to the extent that we need about maybe 80,000 jobs a month just to keep pace with where the economy is, I think we can expect easily two times that in the report upcoming. So look for 150,000 or more jobs added, and that should tell us that while the economy is not all perfect, to say the least, the job market is proceeding probably along the lines of where it should be 11 years into an economic expansion.
Okay, so we're not roaring, but we're steady.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. And, you know, we just did complete, by the way, our quarterly economist survey at Bankrate. And while they're very concerned about the near-term risk facing the economy, mostly centered on the tariffs, trade disputes, and weakness abroad, the average is that they're looking for the unemployment rate to be no higher, taken together as a group, than 3.9% a year from now. I'd say if we can do that, we'd probably be fairly happy if we can make maintain that semblance of order for the economy. At the same time, they are worried, as I say, about risks, and so on average, they say that there's a probability of 41% of a recession arriving by November 2020, which is, of course, when we have our big election in the United States.
All right, so manufacturing right now is worth worrying about or worth monitoring in the coming weeks and months? Where do you see manufacturing here?
Well, worry as a prescription is probably not something I'd be recommending, but I think that areas to watch, absolutely. So we have now seen data pointing to contraction in manufacturing. And so if we had been talking a year or so ago, I would have said and probably did say that the goods-producing realm is one of the standout areas of the U.S. economy. But that was really before we started seeing the impact of tariffs and also the weakness abroad emanating from Asia and Europe. And so to the degree that while we now want to sort of have some certainty about, we don't want to see this weakness bleeding over into the larger and ultimately more important service sector of the economy. Manufacturing is important too, but it's not the single largest part of the economy that's responsible for producing jobs. So that's something to watch, and then also whether consumers roll over. You know, consumer spending lately has been probably more impressive than we would have expected at this point. Now, we don't want consumer spending beyond their means. That's against the grain of what we constantly preach here at Bankrate, which is to urge people to pay down debt, save for emergencies and for retirement, and to have a budget. But to the degree that consumers are responsible for more than two-thirds of U.S. economic activity, we need to have them engaged if indeed they're capable of spending at an appropriate rate and then powering the economy overall.
We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Any job sectors sitting really pretty? The math and science folks, things like that?
Well, certainly if I had someone who was entering college at this point and looking for a degree, I would point them to the science, mathematics, technology, engineering realms, because not only are those steady job creators, but they tend to have the best paying jobs. And in fact, we recently published some data at Bankrate.com that points to that. And I love art. I love everything that helps us to enjoy our leisure time, but the artistic pursuits are not those that produce, at least broadly speaking, the highest paying jobs. Mm. It's great to be a successful artist, but that doesn't necessarily help you to make sure you can pay the rent.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we have a couple bizarre burglary stories for you this morning. For the first one, we take you to Marysville, Ohio, where a roller coaster was stolen from a county fair. Deputies shared an image of the 20-foot-long green and purple coaster that they say was stolen in broad daylight 10 days ago from the Union County Fair. The beloved Go Gator Kitty ride is 35 years old and was allegedly taken by a thief driving a white Dodge Ram pickup while the ride was on a flatbed trailer at the time. Area residents say the ride has sentimental value to the community and are advising people to keep an eye out for the Go Gator, which you would think would be easy to spot.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you hide something like that?
Yeah. Didn't we hear, we did a story about a similar theft from a circus, didn't we?
A couple
months ago, someone stole something also very big and unwieldy, kind of right in broad daylight and like that. I think it's all about the confidence, right? That goes through all of life, but especially when you're robbing something in broad daylight. You go in there looking like you know what you're doing and you're supposed to be doing that.
Right.
No one's
going
to question you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess he's supposed to be taking that for a ride. Who knows?
Just go into like Walmart, just buy one of those safety vests.
Right.
Then you look like you're part of some crew.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that guy, he's supposed to be driving the white Ram pickup truck with a go-kart or the Go-Gator kitty ride on.
Yeah, he's wearing the orange vest, you know, just like everybody else here. Sure, you know, again, it's all about how you present yourself.
I mean, that is, for a lot of these folks, the Go-Gator ride.
Yes.
That's the first like fair photo op for a 2-year-old.
Yes.
But you got to have the Go Gator. You have to find it.
Your introduction to the world of roller coasters.
That thing glides over like 3-foot high humps, for like 30 seconds, right?
Yes, and 17 pictures are taken.
Mm-hmm.
And to Florida now, Gordon, where a burglar was feeling so at home in a house he broke into, he cooked himself a breakfast and told the homeowner there to, quote, go back to sleep. According to ABC, the home's occupant told investigators he woke to discover the man cooking and eating sometime after 4 a.m. on Tuesday. Local TV in Tampa reported the burglar ran from the house when the resident, understandably, called 911. Deputies from the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office tracked down the suspect in a wooded and swampy area behind the home. Police say the 19-year-old man allegedly entered the home through an unlocked rear door. It may not shock you to learn, Gordon, that the arrest report suggests that the suspect may have been under the influence of alcohol.
Wow. Is there a betting line on this?
Yeah.
I got $50.
It's off the board.
Drunk or high. I'm not sure which one I go with, but yeah, drunk or high.
I don't think Vegas would post those odds
on
this particular story, especially because of the you know, all you had to hear about was that he was about to probably rob the place, but he stopped to cook a meal, which made you think that he was probably under the influence of something. Only somebody who has been drinking or drugging would do that.
Instead of go back to sleep, he may have offered, can I fix you something?
Right.
Right. And I got some eggs going. Do you like them scrambled or fried, or would you like some toast with
that? And I have to say, if it was me and that had happened to me and I'd been the resident, you know, I might have considered that.
Yeah.
If someone's cooking me breakfast, I might think about it for half a second.
That's unbelievable. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell has something extra for small businesses, up to 45% off during their semi-annual sale. It's a perfect time to update to Windows 10 with huge deals on business computers featuring Intel Core processors, plus free shipping on everything. Call Small Business Technology Advisors, who can help you achieve your business goals affordably with low monthly payments on the right tech for you. Just call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL, or visit dell.com/businessdeals for semi-annual savings.
A new study finds vegetarians, vegans, and pescatarians have a lower risk of coronary heart disease, but vegans and vegetarians specifically are also more at risk for stroke than meat eaters. Researchers from the University of Oxford tracked 48,000 people for 18 years. After accounting for medical history, physical activity, and smoking, among other factors that could influence the results, they determined pescatarians had a 13% lower risk of coronary heart disease, while vegetarians had a 22% lower risk. Pescatarians, by the way, eat vegetables, but also fish and seafood. Researchers also found vegetarians and vegans had a 20% higher risk of stroke than their meat-eating counterparts. There was not a significantly higher rate of stroke for pescatarians. Though an exact reason has not been established, researchers said those who follow vegetarian and vegan diets had lower circulating cholesterol and levels of several nutrients than meat eaters, such as vitamin B12. It's 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a weekend Hurricane Dorian is moving up the East Coast, causing flooding, tornadoes, and power outages as it pummels North Carolina. While the storm did not turn out to be a worst-case scenario in Florida, Georgia, or South Carolina, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says this is no time for residents to let their guard down.
Stay alert, keep informed, and be ready to take measures to protect yourself and your family and your neighbors. Look out for them.
Earlier this week, the slow-moving storm demolished towns and left at least 30 people dead in the Bahamas. A fast-growing wildfire has ravaged more than 2,000 acres in Southern California in a little more than 24 hours, forcing some 1,200 people out of their homes. Cal Fire Captain Fernando Herrera says the fire has spread to several cities in Riverside County.
There's a lot of steep terrain. It's very hard for our ground boots on the ground to get up to get in there because it's almost vertical.
Riverside County officials have issued a health warning urging people living in nearby areas to limit their time spent outdoors due to smoke and ash. Robert Mugabe, the former guerrilla leader who held on to power in Zimbabwe for 37 years until forced out by the military with the economy mired in crisis, has died at the age of 95, first heralded as a liberator who rid the former British colony of Rhodesia of white minority rule. Mugabe used repression and fear to rule role until he was finally ousted in November of 2017. Canadian teenager Bianca Andreescu's dream run at the U.S. Open continued last night as she powered past Belinda Bencic 7-6, 7-5 to set up a highly anticipated final tomorrow with Serena Williams. Williams crushed Alina Svetolina 6-3, 6-1 in the other semifinal.
I mean, to be in yet another final, it seems honestly crazy, but I don't really expect too much less. I think today was solid. It definitely wasn't my best tennis.
Williams will be vying for a record-tying 24th Grand Slam title.
Insanity.
She played so well last night.
I mean, I'll just, you know, look at the score again. She won 3-1.
Right.
So she's pretty well rested. Didn't go three sets.
She was playing great up until last night.
Man, that's unbelievable. And Serena says she didn't play her best. This expectations are still there for
look out.
Really what has become a superhuman athlete. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Ordinary citizens are stepping up to help those affected by Hurricane Dorian. Insider.com says Chef Jose Andres of World Central Kitchen is feeding thousands of people in the Bahamas. He's known for pitching in and providing meals during disasters and other times of need. He fed residents of Puerto Rico in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria and prepared free meals for furloughed workers during the government shutdown in 2019. Now Mr. Andres is in the Bahamas for Hurricane Dorian. CNN says he plans to provide around 10,000 meals. Meanwhile, an unnamed man in Florida spent nearly $50,000 to buy 100 generators and supplies from Costco in Jacksonville to ship to the Bahamas. We told you earlier this week about a 6-year-old boy in South Carolina who used the money he saved for a Disney trip to buy food for evacuees passing through his town. And at a donation drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, a 4-year-old boy donated the contents of his piggy bank to buy toys for kids in the Bahamas. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Petty Poppies, President and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.